Welcome to the podcast ministry of Pilgrim Baptist Church. Wherever you're listening from, welcome. We pray that the truth from the Word of God speaks to your heart during today's message.
In Romans chapter 12, the break from verses 3 through 8 talks about our spiritual gifts. And we spend a good amount of time on those verses, and when we read those verses, we find out that we are all ministers. All of us are. In Christ, we are all ministers of the spiritual gifts that God has given to us. And with those gifts, we are to use them for His glory to minister to others. So if someone, you say, well, who's your minister? Well, we're all ministers. I get what people mean when they ask that, but all of us are ministers. And we have to start thinking like this. All of us on the same playing field, rather than like this. This clergy, laity, Roman Catholic mentality that even pops up in Baptist churches. It's not the pastor that's at the top. It's God is the head of the church. The pastor is using his gifts among the flock, just like you're using your gifts among the flock. He has to take some oversight. Okay, so I get all that. But he is to minister to the flock, not at the exclusion of the other members ministering to the flock with their gifts. Does that make sense? So all of us are ministers. I think we got that. Now go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Here's another truth I think is important. All of us, I guess depending on the background, this might mean more to you than others. But when I grew up, the church would have a priest. And he was the man. He was the priest of that I don't want to call it a church because it's not a church, of that diocese, you know, they call them. And he was the man. He was the one who would, man, he's a priest. He can open up the Bible and tell us what we need to know. But that's not Bible. That is the same deception that all other false religions and sects of Christianity get wrong, and that is that they take passages that are about Old Testament Israel and they apply them to New Testament Christianity, and it always messes it up. There was an Old Testament priest. We have New Testament priests. You know who they are? If you're saved, put up your hand. All of us. And 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us this in verse number 5. Watch what it says. Ye also are lively stones, as built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. And when we started Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, what were we told to offer our bodies as? A living sacrifice, right? And what do we have here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5? Ye as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to do what? Offer up what? Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Does everybody see that connection between Romans 12, 1 and then this? In Romans 12, look at it so I don't lose you. Look at verse number 1. Now you fill in the blank when I stop reading. Romans 12, 1. That ye present your bodies a holy acceptable unto God. You see that? Now, look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at it in verse number 5, and you fill in the blank. Are built up in spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up... That's right. Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And we have to get rid of this mentality that we're trying to do something that's acceptable to man. All that we do should be acceptable to God. That's a spiritual sacrifice that we offer up to Him, not for salvation. We already are saved. Now we are told to live a certain way. Every Christian is a priest, as this verse tells us. Revelation 1 says, "And hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father." Did God give the church pastors? Yes. Deacons? Yes. Elder? Yeah, all that's there. But He didn't give just one of those men the title of priest. Well, I'm a pastor. Great, I'm a priest. And so are you. See that? It's the same level. There are pastors, there are deacons, all of that, and there's respect there, but it's not like those other gifts shouldn't be just as respected. You see? Not one of us can alone claim, "I'm the only priest here." All of us can make that same claim if you're saved. And that's something to praise the Lord for. Look at verse number 9 in 1 Peter chapter 2, sorry. The second chapter of 1 Peter. The sacrifice that we offer is our life lived in holiness to God. But this perfect sacrifice has already been made by our one high priest. So we don't have an Old Testament priest that needs to offer up a sacrifice for us. I won't go down this rabbit trail. We taught and preached on this before, but when you, and many of you have heard me say this before, when you say, "Come to the altar," to someone who is saved out of Roman Catholicism, you got a lot of qualifying to do. Because to a Roman Catholic, the altar means, oh, we're doing a mass, we're doing another bloody sacrifice, we're taking the body and blood of Jesus. I mean, you got a lot of explaining to do when you say we're going to do an altar call. Wait, what are we doing at this altar? Are we sacrificed? Because I got saved out of that. We're coming to the altar to pray. Okay, fine. Oh, now I get you. One high priest offered up a one-time sacrifice. And now all of us get to be part of what verse 9 tells us. But ye are a chosen generation. We've been regenerated. We're not in the generation of Adam. We're in the generation of Christ. A royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people. You should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Everything you did was about following the course of the world. And so now you're brought out of that and you're called to a life of holiness, not a life of following the dark people. But there's dignity. You see that? What type of priesthood is it? Look at that verse 9. A royal priesthood. There's dignity now that we have. It's been given to us by Christ. And that priesthood that we are all part of, it's royalty. It's royalty. And that royalty means we should show forth some things. You think of the royal family, you know, and you see them when they publicize all that stuff on the news and everything's dignified and everything's high class and everything's elegant and beautiful. And it's probably not the best analogy, because we are so much better and higher than that. But you see how they carry themselves, all that they put into what they do? We're part of royalty. We're part of dignity. And it should come across in all that we do. Okay, so we are all ministers, number one. We are all priests of God, number two. We are all, 2 Corinthians 5, ambassadors for Christ. Let's look at that verse, 2 Corinthians 5. Second Corinthians 5, look at verse 20. Bible says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now, we don't, as ambassadors, go out and negotiate with lost people the terms of peace. We don't negotiate the terms of peace with them. The terms of peace have been established by the king. And ambassadors are working for the king. We go out as ambassadors for the king, and we proclaim, these are the peace treaty terms that have been set by God. And if you want to be reconciled to God and have peace with him, here's how you can be reconciled. By the way, it's a message from the king. That's what an ambassador is. He works under and for the king, and we proclaim the will of our God. An ambassador is considered not a low rank. It's not a private or something low. It's a very, very high rank. So not only are we ministers, not only are we priests, but we are high-ranking ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as an ambassador, we have been bound to obey the explicit commands given by our king as an ambassador. And we don't deviate from those plans. We go out for his name and we proclaim and explain exactly what Christ would if the King of England could travel around every area in England. He would say the exact same thing if he were there that his ambassador would say that he sent. So it's as if Christ were here right now, he would say the exact same thing that we would say. We are his ambassadors. We are saying exactly what he would have us to say and nothing else. There's a lot of things to preach when you go out to the lost and dying world. But he gave us explicit commands as ambassadors, at least for the lost, the glorious gospel of Christ. So we are number one, everybody say this, a minister. Amen. Minister. Number two, we are all priests. Priests. And number three, we are all ambassadors. Ambassadors. Ministers, priests, ambassadors. We are also, I know the young people like this chapter. I do too. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. You're a minister, you're a priest, you're an ambassador, but you are also a soldier. And guess whose army you're in? The Lord's army. You got it. All right, let's pick it up, verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong. See that? In the Lord and in the power of his might. Didn't we talk about this a little bit earlier concerning mercy? As a soldier, you have some strength and you have some power. You're not a weakling. Look at verse number 11. Look at this language. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Man, you got to put on some things. You have to be able to stand. Look at this. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, how many of you boys or young men like to wrestle? Yeah, that doesn't make you feel good, and you wrestle around, tumble around. You know, guess what you need in order to get good at that? Someone said it. Yeah.
Practice.
You need some training, okay? You need some training. Now, all of this is why we're always trying to get into the Bible and flip the verses and learn the Bible, because it's about training. You're a minister. A minister needs training. You're part of a royal priesthood. A priest, they need some training on what do I do? How do I do it? What should I say? How should I say it? You're an ambassador for the king. You know, that ambassador's trained on exactly how to act, what to say. Pilgrim Baptist, what I'm saying is we need training from the Word of God. You're not going to go out and wrestle and be a soldier if you don't have any training. Now, do you think that the United States military is going to call you up out of the blue and say, you know what, we're going to drop you into enemy territory? Maybe I should back up. Maybe with this administration, you don't know what you're going to get. But typically what happens is the military will enroll you, and then you will go through some very vigorous training, and it will involve this. Some guy with bad breath yelling in your face, 20 push-ups, 30 push-ups, 50 push-ups, and he's just going to work you to death until you pass out. He's going to keep yelling and screaming at you, and he's going to whip you into shape mentally. That's why they yell at you. They want to break your spirit. But you got to go through some training. You got to go through some boot camp, and you have to be some training if you want to be a good soldier. Now we run these jiu-jitsu tournaments, and every now and then we're going to have some guy off the street that says, "Hey, can I register?" And the staff response is the same way. "Are you part of a team?" "No, I just kind of want to test my skills." "Have you have any training?" "Well, I wrestled when I was a freshman in high school." "Okay, you sure you want to do this?" "Okay, sure, it's an open tournament. Here's the waiver, here's the rules, have at it." And he goes out there and he gets his tail handed to him. Why? Because he didn't have any training. And you know what he does if he's smart? He starts finding and talking to a few of the instructors that are there. And they say, "You know what? Yeah, come on by. Try a class. See if you like our style." And that's how things go. It should be the same in Christianity. God says, if you want to be a soldier, you need to be in a place where you're going to get trained properly. Look at this. Look at verse 13. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor." You're going to have to gird up your loins. You're going to have to wear a breastplate, verse number 14. You're going to have to shod your feet. You're going to take up a shield in verse number 16. Darts from the wicked are going to come at you. Verse number 17, you're going to have a helmet. You're going to have a sword. Verse number 19 says you're going to have to open up your mouth boldly. You're going to have to do all of these things. Verse number 19, you're going to have to be taught. Verse number 18, rather, praying always. You're going to have to be taught how to pray. "Teach me to pray, Lord." That's what the disciples said. All of this requires training. And the same way you wouldn't just get into a battle with no training, no ammunition, no tanks. Nobody would do that. God doesn't want his people just winging it. He wants his people getting trained in the Word of God so that they are properly trained soldiers. Now here's what I wanted to show you. Look at verse 20. Paul, watch what he says. Verse number 20 in Ephesians 6. He says, "For which I am and what? Ambassador." Didn't we just talk about the high dignity, rank, and royalty of an ambassador? Man, the king sent you out. You're an ambassador for the king. It's as if you're almost like the king. You're saying the same thing. Man, if the king was here, he'd say the same thing. And you know what Paul says? He says the same thing here. He says, "For which I am an ambassador." But what does it say after that? In what? Bonds. Man, doesn't that bring you down a notch? You know what Christ came as his first coming? A suffering servant. You know what they did? They put him on a tree and he bled out on Calvary's cross for you and for me. And you know what Paul is? Oh, he's a soldier, all right. He's a minister, all right. He's an ambassador, all right. But you know what he's in? Bonds. And he counts that the glorious badge of honor. The world would say, man, that's great, you're an ambassador. Paul says, yeah, I'm an ambassador for my king, and I'm in bonds, and I'm happy for it. He found joy in the bonds and the affliction that he met. What did they do to Christ? What are they going to do to you? Same thing. They're going to treat you the same way, except you don't have to die for anybody's sins. So don't be surprised if you have fill in personal application. What are the bonds? What are the chains that maybe God would put in your life? Okay, some personal application. You just let your mind figure that out in your heart between you and God. But the greater glory that Paul had was to boldly speak up for Christ. That was the greater glory. Praise his name. All right, two more. Hebrews 5. Okay, Hebrews 5. Never go with me or any preacher or so-called that starts off with, inserts, or ends with phraseology like this. I had a vision the other night. The Lord spoke to me and he told me, be real, real careful. Be real careful. Because you're going to end up in an open vision, all right, where anything and everything goes, and they're going to try to name and claim Christ. One of the brothers sent me something this week, and it was about that. All through it was open vision. The Lord told me, I got this word from the Lord. Man, that's real spiritual. No one's heard it before but you. Tune in. Send me money. And as a preacher, I'm real, real careful. I'm real careful. I don't want to be the only guy preaching something. Because if nobody else preached it and I'm the only guy I want to wait until somebody else preaches it and then I'll go second, okay? Because I don't want to be the guy you got some truth from God. No, I want to make sure. And that's important. So Hebrews 5 is a great verse for this. So we are all, everybody say ministers,
ministers.
Priests,
priests,
ambassadors.
Soldiers.
Teachers. We are. Now, we might not all have the gift of teaching. Same thing we said this morning. We may not all have the gift of mercy. That doesn't exclude us from understanding the biblical definition and how to apply being a merciful person as we live. It doesn't exclude us. The same with Hebrews 5, verse 12. Don't say you don't have the gift of teaching to exclude yourself from this. Hebrews chapter number 5, look at Hebrews 5, verse number 12. Watch what it says. For when for the time ye ought to be what? Teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. Milk, it's a picture of children's food. A young baby, a young infant can only have mama's milk. They're not mature enough to be able to handle meat yet. So it's a picture of you're just children. And then it goes on to say, and not of strong meat. And then the Bible says in verse number 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word. So it doesn't say you're not saved. And it doesn't say you're not a Christian, none of that. It just says you're unskillful. It's like a child wielding around a sword. Somebody's going to get hurt. Okay? We're going to go into battle. No, you're not. Oh, your diet's of milk. So God has a diet for us, and it's not just milk. It's some meat. You have to chew on some meat. Sometimes you get some gristle in there. You have to chew on it for a little bit. And then sometimes I deliver a hard sermon that nobody wants to maybe hear. Or I sit through a sermon. I'm like, man, that really, I don't know about that. I'm going to have to really chew on that. It's called meat. It's called meat. It's not like mama's milk, sweet and it goes down and your belly's full and you lie back. You know, the kid comes off, he's just happy and smiling. That's not what the Word of God is. And all of us should be teachers of the Word of God. Are you a Christian mother? You're a teacher of the Word of God to your children. That principle hasn't changed. If you're a Christian father, sir, it is your responsibility to be a teacher of the Word to your children. It's not my job. My job is for my kids. Man, I'm a soldier. Great. I'm an ambassador. Great. You know what? You also are a teacher. You are. Well, I don't have the gift of teaching. Fine. You don't have the gift of teaching, but you're still a teacher. All of us are teachers. And we can't forget that. Unskillful means you need to develop the skills. I served Bible school. I was 40, and these young guys go, and they find out you do jiu-jitsu, and, you know, they think the same thing that everybody thinks when they meet someone skilled in martial arts. I just wonder if I can take them out. you end up having a job. I had a job where basically your job is you're training students to beat you up because, you know, they're always gunning for you. And so they want to test their skills. So I said, okay, all right. I said, I'm old. I'm retired. I'm not full as much salt and vinegar as I used to, but okay. And afterwards, they said, man, how in the world do you? I said, here's the only reason. This is it. The only reason. You don't have any technique. You're unskilled. That's it. That's the only reason. Once you start getting some skills and learning, you'll wipe the mat with me. You're younger, you're healthier, you're fresher, your bones and joints don't ache as much. The only thing you're lacking is you're unskilled. Christian young people, if you can go farther than me and do something better for the Lord than I can, I want to help train you to do that. I do. If you have some spiritual gifts, this is the place to be, to hone those gifts and put them into action. We don't want to be a church of unskillful men and women. God wants us to be good teachers of the Word, and that means we got to get off of milk and we got to chew on some meat. The last verse, 14 in that chapter, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age. That's maturity. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, I thank God for any soul that's been saved. I'm sure you would too. And I'm not just trying to be mean and critical for the sake of trying to get the mean and critical badge. I'm not. But you find the largest carnival church in every town across America. And I can just tell you, it's going to be a church where everybody's getting fed milk. And when they're only fed milk, you know what the problem, the last verse tells us? You end up with hundreds of thousands of people not being able to discern good from evil. Why does it look like that in that church? Because they can't discern good from evil. They've been on milk their entire life. And God says, we got some growing up to do. And all of us have to be teachers of the Word. And if all of us are in the Word, I've said this before, I'll just keep saying it. The men and women in this church should know the Bible as well or better than me. And I am not threatened by that. I want you to know the Bible. Because our church is Pilgrim Baptist Church. It's not, this is Brother Jimmy's ministry. This is our ministry. This is our local church. This is our church family. And all of us have to be able to teach the word. Now, we're not going to have a sister come up and preach to the congregation. That's not what God's word says. But sisters, there are people within the body, within a local body that you can teach. Older teaching younger. We see that. And that can be applied in many aspects. Other men sharpening other men. Iron sharpeneth iron. We see that principle so clearly. So Hebrews 5 tells us that all of us are teachers of the word of righteousness. The word of righteousness. That's what we learn. And then one more. So we're all, everybody say, ministers,
ministers.
Priests,
priests,
ambassadors,
ambassadors,
soldiers, teachers. And then finally, this one's for Brother Eric, 1 Corinthians 3. Finally, we are all builders. We are all builders. 1 Corinthians 3. All of us are builders. 1 Corinthians 3, look at verse number 9. For we are laborers with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. We don't have to lay a foundation. What are we doing? We're building on it. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We are all builders, and we lay no other foundation. It has been built. It's Christ crucified, salvation through him alone. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Do you know that are you saved? If you're saved, you're going to have a judgment. And your judgment isn't going to be for your sins. Your judgment's going to be how you builded what you did. Now, when Eric builds a job, if he's part of a crew and they're building the job, when they are done laying the foundation, the inspector's going to come and check out his work. And he's going to get a reward. Okay, you can move on now to the next part, the plumbing. And when the plumbing's all done, now the building inspector comes and says, okay, let me see your work. And he's going to get a reward. Nice job. You can move forward. And then he's going to do the electrical. And then the electrical inspector is going to come. And then the framing and the building inspector for that comes. And then the roof and all of that. And throughout all that process of building, the building inspectors come and they're going to give rewards based on how you build it. May I say to you this afternoon, the master builder inspector is going to look at how we lived our life as Christians. And God's going to judge us. Did you build the way I asked you to build? If you did, there'll be a reward. And if you didn't, that work that you thought you were doing for God, you were really doing for yourself, it's just going to be burned up. It's not going to mean nothing. Not in eternity. Okay? You know how I want to build? The right way. And I don't know how to build physical things. I'm learning. So I'm better now towards the end of this. So I asked Jared, what are we going to do? What should we do next? Oh, what would you do on this? Oh, I'm at this thing. What do you think? I'm not sure about this wire. Is that wire right? And I ask them all these questions throughout this. And if I'm coachable, if I'm teachable, at the end of it, I'll be a better builder than I was when I started. Does that make sense? You are a builder. I hope you're building right, because the inspector's coming.
Thank you for listening to the podcast ministry of Pilgrim Baptist Church. We look forward to seeing you in the next episode. In the meantime, you can sign up for our email newsletter at www.pilgrimbaptist.church.